Locked On Giants, your daily New York Giants podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello, New York Giant fans, and welcome to another edition of Locked On Giants, part of the Locked On Podcast family, your team every day. Patricia Traynor here with you. It is Tuesday, October 27th, and we are doing a special edition Twitter Tuesday. Normally, we do our listener mailbag on a Friday. We're going to do it on a Tuesday, mainly because we didn't do one last week. So we're going to do it early this week and just continue bringing you other types of programming as we go through the week, including Ed Valentine. He's going to be on the program with me on Wednesday. Thursday is going to be the crossover show. Friday, to be determined, still working on the programming for that. And then, of course, next Monday, the Giants host the Tampa Bay Buccaneers home game. Tom Brady comes to town. JPP's coming back. Should be an interesting one. So we will have the coverage obviously throughout the week, and make sure you're also checking us out on GiantsCountry.com, where we have daily coverage updating the site several times a day. And before we get into today's Twitter Tuesday, this episode is brought to you in part by Pepsi. This football season will be different, and Pepsi is here to get you ready for game day, no matter how you watch the season. Pepsi is the refreshment you need to power through the game day and become a member of the League of Football Watchers, because Pepsi isn't made for those who play the game. It's made for those who watch it. Pepsi made for football watching. Go to madeforfootballwatching.com to check out the latest football watching content only from Pepsi. All right, we're going to jump into our questions. Not a whole lot of questions, but we'll do a few here, a few there, and then we'll call it a show. First question comes from Oscar Nieves, who wants to know, do you think it's a bad idea to not trade Evan Engram? What positives can you take from a non-trade? You know, Oscar, I know I've been kind of vocal about trading Evan Engram. And again, I want to stress, and I cannot stress this enough, this is not personal. What has annoyed me, or bothered me, I should say, about Evan Engram is that he flashes talent, but he cannot, for whatever the reason, achieve consistency. And he is now in his third offensive system. And I just don't understand what the issue is. You know, I've speculated, Oscar, is his foot bothering him maybe? Is something else bothering him? He doesn't look like the player I remember from his rookie season. He looks tentative, and he's making mistakes that you just wouldn't expect him to make. Now, with that said, to your question, what positives can you take from a non-trade? Well, he's a matchup nightmare. That's number one. If the coaches get him into the right position against a linebacker or a smaller defensive back, he's going to win that matchup practically every time. So that would be the first thing I would say. Let me see. What else would be a matchup? He's athletic. He would be the type to pick up yards after the catch, you know, because he has that good speed and athleticism. You know, that's something that Caden Smith doesn't really have, and which is could be looked at as a problem. So I would say that for sure. And, you know, Engram, I think when he is used properly, he could be a very key contributor in your offense. But look, not all of the issues that Engram has had are his fault. I want to make that clear. With that said, I don't know what's going on with him this year. Like I said, I can't figure it out. All I see is a player who just looks lost out there. And I hope for Evan's sake that he turns it around. Because like I said, I think he's a good kid. I think he works real hard at his craft. I admire him for, you know, stepping up to the plate, or I should say the podium the other night after, you know, having the performance he had against the Eagles. And he didn't hide. So hopefully things will work out for him, because I do think the kid is you know, in normal circumstances, I would say keep him. But, you know, not at $6 million and not at the production he's been delivering lately. I just can't justify that. So, all right, next question comes from John Spielman, who also asked about Evan Ingram. Has he lost his confidence? John, as I just kind of said, it looks that way. Now, Ingram will tell you, no, he hasn't lost his confidence. Everything's fine. Everything's all right with the world. He just has to do better. But I watch a player, and I'll give you a perfect example, John. If you watch that one play against the Eagles where Ingram was going over the middle, and granted, it was a hard throw, but he took his eye off the ball and kind of peeked over at the linebacker that was coming up upon him, almost as if he wanted to see or anticipate when the hit was coming. You just can't do that. The other example, you know, that famous now drop pass on third down, Ingram had all kinds of space in front of him, and he could have reached out and extended and dove for it, but he didn't. And usually when you're tentative like that, you could attribute that to a loss of confidence. The Giants obviously say that's not the case, but, you know, you have eyes, John. I'm sure you saw the game. I'm sure you have seen the games. That's my, you know, my feeling on it. I'll let you draw your own conclusion. I do think there might be some confidence lost there in Evan Ingram's game, which is a darn shame because the guy can be a really, really dynamite tight end if he could ever put it all together. And here's hoping that he does. You know? So, all right, Giant fans, we are going to take our first break on this Twitter Tuesday. When we come back, more of your questions. Stay with us.
This football season will be different, and Pepsi is here to get you ready for game day, no matter how you watch this season. Pepsi is the refreshment you need to power through game day and become a member of the League of Football Watchers. Because Pepsi isn't made for those who play the game, it's made for those who watch it. So be sure to pick up a nice cool Pepsi to enjoy while you watch Giants football. And don't forget, check out madeforfootballwatching.com for the latest football watching content exclusively from Pepsi.
With the ever-increasing numbers of makes and models of cars and trucks, it's become impossible for retail shops to stock everything in a traditional chain storefront. So the next time you need a part for your car or truck, visit rockauto.com. RockAuto.com is a family-owned business serving auto parts customers online for 20 years. RockAuto.com offers scores of different auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers for nearly every make and model of car out there. Whether it's for your classic or daily driver, get everything you need in just a few easy clicks delivered directly to your door. The RockAuto.com catalog is unique and remarkably easy to navigate. Quickly see all the parts available for your vehicle and choose the brands, specifications, and prices you prefer. Best of all, prices at RockAuto.com are always reliably low and are the same for professionals and do-it-yourselfers. Why spend up to twice as much for the same parts? Go to RockAuto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. Write Locked On in their How Did You Hear About Us box so that they know we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. RockAuto.com. Welcome back, Giant fans, to Locked On Giants. Patricia Traina here with you, and we are doing a Twitter Tuesday. Not a whole lot of questions, but, you know, we are going through, obviously, what we have, and all questions are certainly appreciated. And don't forget, we are doing the mailbag weekly. So if you have a question, you can send them to LockedOnGiantsPodcast@gmail.com, or you can tweet them to @Patricia_Traina and make sure you tag them AskPTraina. Just mention it's for the podcast so I don't accidentally put it in the weekly Giants Country mailbag. You know, try and answer as many questions from every avenue coming in. Always happy to do so. Okay, now let's get to some email questions. And first up, we have John Gersty. Now, these questions, John, I know you asked these questions a couple of weeks ago. I apologize. We missed the cutoff, and these also landed in spam, but I fixed that so that your emails don't land up in spam. All right. So let's see what we have from John. Two questions. I thought Cam Brown showed great speed and hustle when he blocked Terry McLaurin on Crowder's fumble. Do you think we will get to see more of Cam Brown and Carter Coughlin on defense? Yes, I do. And we actually did last week against the Eagles. So that's kind of answers that. Question number two, overall, I think that Joe Judge is doing a good job, especially when it comes to unifying and motivating the team. However, one item I would like to see changed is the use of second half timeouts. My feeling is barring a game-changing circumstance, these timeouts should be saved for the final minutes of the fourth quarter. Do you agree? John, I would say as a rule, yes, but I would also say to you that it's not a one-size-fits-all type of scenario. Sometimes you do have to burn a timeout early in the fourth quarter. Sometimes a timeout needs to be taken in the third quarter, especially if it looks like you're going to encounter a delay of game that really, you know, will put you in a pit. So in a perfect world, yes, you want to save the timeouts for late in the fourth quarter, but we don't live in a perfect world, unfortunately. So I can't say that I've had a big issue with how Joe Judge has used his timeouts this year, unlike last 2 years with Pat Shurmur and his use of timeouts, which used to make me pull out my hair. So, listen, I think Joe Judge is, you know, there's very little I can point to that I can honestly say he's not doing a good job so far. But ultimately, it's all got to come down to victory. So we'll see if that should happen. All right. Up next, I have a question from G-Man in Florida, also submitted via email. Is it time to remove Dave Gettleman before he makes more trades that will harm the Giants in the future? His report card shows at least an incomplete failing grade in my book. We need a new GM assigned by the NFL office, not one selected by Mara. We need another George Young type, etc. Okay, let me break this down here for you, G-Man. Gettleman is not in a position right now to make trades to acquire players. That will necessitate assets. And as I keep telling people, unless you are one or two players away from a title, if you're trading to acquire players, you're just not approaching this the right way. That said, I have no problem with him trading away guys like Marcus Golden, which was a move I anticipated, or Kevin Zeitler, or Golden Tate, two moves that would potentially make sense for the team if it means the Giants can get some draft day assets. You know, if you remove Gettleman right now from the GM spot, that means the next GM coming in only has six draft picks. He's got a salary cap situation that's still kind of not settled. It's better, but it's not 100% settled. You also have a guy who, or a situation where you've got some key decisions to make. So my gut feeling right now, as I record this, Gettleman gets another year. You know, you throw in the fact that it's a new coaching staff. It was an unconventional type of year. Gettleman also revamped the scouting department and how they do personnel. I suspect that he will get another year to finally push everything forward. Beyond that, I can't say for sure, but I would say I am 95% certain he will get another year as I record this today. Interestingly, Gettleman is kind of from that George Young GM tree. It was George Young and then Ernie Accorsi, and Gettleman worked under Ernie Accorsi, as did Jerry Reese. So I think that George Young GM tree has kind of dried out at this point. So I would be all in favor of the Giants bringing in a GM from the outside. Now, I've seen a couple names thrown around. I don't know, you know, these names have ties to Joe Judge from prior stints that he had. I suspect that will be the way it goes, because obviously you want your head coach and your GM working well together. So we'll see how that goes, but I just don't think it's going to be this year. It would have to take something really extraordinary for that to happen. And lastly, your point about the NFL office stepping in and intervening, I don't see that happening either. Because if you go back to when they last did it in 79, Tim Mara and Wellington Mara were basically not speaking to each other. They were co-owners of the team, 50-50 partners, and they weren't speaking to each other. So therefore, whatever Tim said, Wellington shot down and vice versa. So that was a totally different situation. I do not get the sense that is how it is with the Giants, with John Mara and Steve Tisch. I could be wrong, but I don't get that sense. So I don't think the NFL is going to step in and appoint, you know, the next George Young for this franchise. Okay, thanks for those questions, G-Man. Have a good one. And let's see, we've got a few more. Well, I'll do one more before we break. Kenny, that wasn't Kenny. Jeff Cope, a.k.a. Texas Wine Lover. Last year, it seemed everybody was getting a concussion. This year, there have been a lot less up until the last game. What do you contribute to the lower number of concussions? I would say probably proper technique. I remember a coach once telling me that you can avoid a concussion if you tackle properly. So, you know, and part of that, Jeff, would be not leading with your head. You know, you want to lead with your shoulder and keep your head out of harm's way. So that would be my guess as to why, you know, the concussion numbers seem a little less than they were in the past. And hey, that's a good thing. That's definitely a good thing. I also suspect part of that could be because of the ongoing evolution of these helmets, you know, new technology and whatnot that they're putting in helmets to protect the head. But I would say technique is probably the number one reason why that we see fewer concussions. Okay, we are going to take our final break here, Giant fans. When we come back, we'll wrap it up with the last few questions. Do stay with us.
Hey, Giant fans, this is Patricia Traina, host of the Locked on Giants podcast, and I want to tell you about my debut book. It's called The Big 50, The Men and Moments That Made the New York Giants, and I've sought to create a living history of the top men and moments that have made one of the NFL's charter franchises what it is today. Relive the franchise's 4 Super Bowls. Find out what convinced former general manager Ernie Accorsi that quarterback Eli Manning was indeed the one. Learn about the events that brought the Tisch family into the Giants' ownership lore, and so much more. This 368-page paperback book includes loads of photos and stories of some of the greatest Giants in history as told in their own words. The Big 50, The Men and Moments That Made the New York Giants,
is now available
on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever else books are sold.
So pick up your copy today. And if you like it, please give it a 5-star review. And thank you so much for your support. Welcome back, Giant fans, to segment 3 of Locked on Giants. Patricia Traina here with you, and it is a Twitter Tuesday. We are answering your questions. And by the way, if you do not hear your question on this show, it means it came in after I taped it, obviously. So what I usually try to do is I try to hold the questions until the following week, assuming, you know, that they're still relevant at that point. Sometimes people will ask something and then the question will go on to be answered over the course of the week's events. And it's, you know, no point at me answering it again at that point. But anyway, we have a couple more that we will get through, and then we'll call it a show. And a reminder, tomorrow, Ed Valentine joins me to kind of do a mid-season State of the Giants show. So make sure you tune in for that. And then on Thursday, we have the crossover show with Locked on Bucks coming up. So that should be a good one as well. Okay. Question from, actually two questions from Ryan C. Okay, so the first, I'm going to do one question at a time here. The Giants' offense has been terrible this year, but people keep saying the defense is pretty good. However, I see a defense that can't get off the field on third downs or make stops when needed. Is it just a lack of edge rushers, or is the scheme causing issues on third down? Ryan, I think the biggest problem with the Giants on third down is the secondary, believe it or not. You know, you have James Bradbury and pretty much everybody else. Logan Ryan has been playing well. I think Jabril Peppers has had his moments, though not in coverage. I think you can say, Logan Ryan, James Bradbury, he has definitely been playing well. But if you look at it, I think a lot of times opponents go after the weak links of that secondary. And that's why the Giants can't get off the field. It's not so much the pass rush, I don't think. I don't think it's the linebackers. I think the Giants need more firepower in that defensive secondary. Just, you know, my 2 cents from what I've seen in watching film. Part of it you could potentially blame on the fact that, you know, the call might be a little questionable, but I really think that's what's at play here is, you know, the defensive secondary isn't holding its coverage, and there are breakdowns in coverage that are coming out back to haunt them. All right, your second question. They traded Marcus Golden already. Do I see them trading Dalvin Tomlinson or Leonard Williams? You know, I know those two names came up, and I don't think they're going to trade either one of those guys. I would be surprised. And I'll start with Leonard Williams. Leonard Williams is on the franchise tag. You would have to find a team that has a lot of money to take on the rest of that contract. So, and Leonard Williams, for what it's worth, he's not having that horrible of a year. This is probably a much better year that he's having since he's come to the Giants. So I'm not so sure I would be quick to want to get rid of him this year. Now, Dalvin Tomlinson, that's an interesting one because he is in the final year of his contract. And if you trade him, basically the acquiring team is getting a half year rental unless they're able to sign him to an extension. I've always been of the opinion that if you are not going to be able to re-sign somebody and you can try and trade them, do it. Better to get something in return than not to. And I don't just mean a comp pick, which I think the Giants will probably get if Dalvin Tomlinson signs with another team. The problem is they would have to wait till 2022 to get that comp pick. It won't help them in 2021. So with that said, I don't think that the Giants would trade Dalvin Tomlinson. I would be surprised if that happened. I would be very surprised if they trade Leonard Williams. And I just think they roll with those guys. I really do. Let's see. You also said, there was one other thing you said about Golden Tate and how you wish they might trade him. You know, I've actually heard that there might be some teams in the market for a veteran receiver. You know, Green Bay was a team that was suggested to me that could be looking to add some veteran firepower. You know, behind Davante Adams, there was another team. I can't remember who the other team was off the top of my head, but a couple of teams were actually, you know, suggested to me as possible targets for trading for Golden Tate. I would definitely look to move his contract. You know, he's not going to be here next year. So if you could trade him to a contender and get rid of that salary off your books, do it. Even if you're getting a day three pick, you know, a seventh rounder, worst case scenario, that's better than nothing. Remember, the Giants gave up a fifth rounder and a seventh rounder in next year's draft because the fifth rounder to the Jets for Leonard Williams and the seventh rounder to the Broncos for Isaac Yiadom. So get those picks back. You know, right now they've got 2 6-round picks for next year, no seventh. And as we've seen, Dave Gettleman likes to use those picks to trade around and also to get guys who might otherwise, there might be a scramble to get as an undrafted free agent. So definitely if they can pull that off, do it. So thanks for those questions and for the very kind email. Ryan, appreciate it and hope to hear from you again. Final questions comes from James Jeffries. Let's see. With the Giants bound to have another top five pick, and do you think the Giants go away from taking the highly regarded tackle Penei Sewell, knowing we have Andrew Thomas and a promising Pert? I think it's too early to say. You know, I know people are starting to look at the draft, and I have a personal policy. I try not to talk about the draft and who the Giants might pick until I see the order, until I see who's declared. You know, in other words, I want to see a complete picture. You know, it's just too soon to tell is what I'm getting at. My guess is no, they probably won't use an asset, a top asset on another offensive tackle, but you never know. You never know. So circle back with me at the end of the year or in January even, when I start doing my draft work and I start doing my previews on guys, and we can address that question again. But right now, I just can't give you, you know, an educated answer. Okay. And then you said, also, I would like the Giants to trade down if we get any other picks outside the number one pick to acquire a king's ransom. James, I would agree with you. You know, there were times that I wanted to see the Giants trade down that they did not. But again, let's see where they're picking and let's get a complete picture as to who might be going where. I just think it's just way too soon to talk about this. Let's see what the Giants do in the final days of the trade deadline, you know, but yeah, I mean, I would think Dave Gettleman would want to have at least 7 draft picks to play around with, maybe more. He does not have that yet, but let's see where they're at. I mean, there's still a lot of football left to be talking about the draft and what they might do and what they should do. So I promise you, give me that question, you know, in December, January, and I should have a better and more educated guess for you. Okay, a couple more. We have a question from Jeff Jenkins. What do you think of Jordan Love's play so far? Jordan Love is a quarterback for the Packers. I think you mean Julian Love. At least that's what I'm assuming you mean. Disappointing. I thought I would see more out of Julian Love. I thought he would have a bigger role in this defense, but I just wonder if maybe Logan Ryan has you know, kind of stepped in and taken some of that responsibility, because Logan Ryan's a little, you know, more polished of a player at this point. And what are your thoughts on the Giants going to a full youth movement on the O-line? You know what? I would not mind that. It's going to necessitate some growing pains, mind you, but, you know, look, it just beats this patchwork deal. Get the 5 guys that you're going to move forward with and have them play together for a couple of years, kind of like that 2007 line did. And we saw how good that line was. So, I mean, enough with the patchwork and, you know, beating, you know, trying to knead everything together every year and starting from scratch. It just doesn't make sense to me. If you've got the talent, play them and get it over with, you know? All right, up next, Renato P. from Brazil. Yes, Renato P. from Brazil has a couple of questions. Let's see. Andrew Thomas, do you think it's worth checking out if he has been at least evolving once compared with last year when he was at Georgia? Yes, absolutely. And that's something that, you know, I will probably try, at least I hope to look at over the bye week if I can get my hands on the type of film and the angles that I need from his days at Georgia. So I'll see if I can't pull that off. Regarding wide receiver number one, I've read that one of the concerns for the team is to find a receiver number one given the lack of productivity. Do you believe this could be something addressable by draft free agency, or could we transform Darius Slayton? I would say get a legitimate number one receiver in the draft. Let's stop with this patchwork stuff and just get a number one receiver at this point. I you know, stop trying to make guys into something they might not be. I just think that's a waste of time and resources. Let's see. Next question, from what Daniel Jones has shown, Besides the latest news of him not following the quarantine rules, do you believe the Giants got more confident to not seek another quarterback in next year's draft? Renato, I think we've got to let the year play out. I think it's too soon to say that. I do think, as of right now, the Giants think they have their quarterback of the future, their franchise quarterback. But I think you've got to let the year play out and see how things go. You know, Joe Judge at the end of the year might decide, you know, this guy's not for me. He's not the guy that I want running my system. Or he might turn around and say, you know what, I can live with Daniel Jones for, you know, as my quarterback. So I just think that there are things that Daniel Jones does well. There are things that he doesn't do well. And as I've said before in this program, the number one concern I have outside of the turnover issue is the mental processing not developing. Now, I'm going to give him a little bit of a pass because it is a new system. And, you know, I'll give him a pass on that. But I got to start seeing that him getting over that hump. And, you know, so far after about half a season, we haven't seen it. I would like to see that progress made in the second half of the season. So thanks for the question, Renato. And before you, Jeff, thanks to everybody for the questions. That'll do it for today's show. Make sure you tune in tomorrow. Ed Valentine will be on the program. Thursday, I believe I'll have James Yarko, who is the host of Locked On Bucks. He'll be on the show for the crossover. And then Friday, we'll probably just have, I'll see what I can program for Friday. I haven't gotten that far yet, but I'll have a show for you one way or another on Friday. So make sure you're tuning in the rest of the week. And thank you, folks, as always, for the great questions. And until next time, have a great one.